So that is one of those things, that constant curiosity, these rules that we've had in place for so long, why? And I love that. And now when my son asks me, I don't just ignore him. I ask myself the same question.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have this guy on. It's none other than Andrew Hayes. We're going to be talking about fitness. We're going to be talking about health. Great lifestyles you can model for your kids. And of course, the first and foremost is fatherhood. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Andrew. How you doing, man?
Thanks. I'm great. Great to be here.
I have to say, though, first of all, thanks for sponsoring the Art of Fatherhood podcast with your company. And, in the next round of podcasts, we're going to have your colleague Kat on here as well, Kat Best. We're going to be talking about different things about fitness and health and how we can, have a good, healthier lifestyle. There's a lot of sometimes we live in a microwave society and we're all like trying to get like that quick fix, but you guys aren't about that. You guys are making sure people are taking care of themselves and their families the right way. We're going to get into that with her and, of course, with you. But as we go into fatherhood, man, I just got to let the audience know, like, pull back the curtain. You're moving next month. You're moving like across the different states, and you took the time to record the interview with me on a Friday of all days, man. So first of all, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for sponsoring, but also too, thanks for managing this time to, speak with me today, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've moved many times, but never with two young kids. So it's been a new challenge. That's for sure.
I would say to you, just like the and you probably know this, maybe you and your wife already have this already planned, but the things that they love right now, have like with you in the car or like some type of box you can easily get to, and you'll be, because I think your kids are a lot younger than mine. So like that, I remember when we were moving, we had a couple of things that were like necessary for them to either go to sleep or just to have like, comfort wise. So I'm guessing you've already done that, but that's just for anybody listening, moving, there's a tip for you, right?
I appreciate that. And someone else told me not to let them decide what to throw out because then they want to keep everything and everything is a catastrophe. So we've been doing all of the donations and everything when they go to bed at night.
There you go. Well done, man. So let's talk about your fatherhood journey from the beginning, man. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind?
Excitement, of course. And I was also thinking, okay, I have 9 months, 10 months to figure out what the heck to do because I spent very little time around kids. I didn't have any nieces and nephews. I was one of the first of my friends to have kids. So I learned to change a diaper in the delivery room after my son was born. And so I read a lot of books, but I've learned, as every other parent has learned, there is no preparation you can do. You just have to kind of live through it. So I was excited, but I do feel a lot more prepared now that I've done it twice.
Nice, man. Like I said, you're a veteran dad. You know what's up. One of your Instagram posts was talking about just self-improvement, right? I think we're like the hardest on ourselves. We're the hardest critics. And you kind of, you want it to be that way. You want, people to give you constructive criticism. My spouse, my daughters, if there's something, they'll be like, hey, this is good, but maybe you can do this. You always got to see, I always try and teach my kids, like even adults can, never stop learning. But I love the fact you said like one big takeaway is when you were like, be kind to yourself and get 1% better each day. I think this is a great message for your own self, but also for your kids. So I feel like you're going to ace this question. No pressure, even though I just put pressure on you. Talk about some of the values, man, you're looking to instill into them, especially like, the self-improvement and just like be kind to yourself.
One of the big things that I already try to instill in my kids, and they're young, they're 5 and 3, is this idea that you can be anything at any time. And every single person on the planet was told that when they were in kindergarten. Do you want to be an astronaut? What do you want to be when you grow up? You could be whatever you want. And then I feel like so many of us after high school, we either go to college and we're told to just get good grades and get the first job we can get or learn a trade or whatever it is. And it's like this ability to dream and be whatever you want kind of disappears. And what I've learned having gone through a full career pivot, becoming a fitness guy when I was really bad at sports growing up. I mean, if you put in the effort 1% better each day, which you mentioned, you can be whatever. And so I want my kids to realize that they don't have to decide today what they want to be. They don't have to commit forever. And I really like that approach, and it applies to anyone at any age too.
Love that. And there's a little bit reassurance because I was at my oldest high school, like meet the teachers night, because they change it up every semester. And one of them was talking about math, like, oh, if you're going to go to this field, you need to know this, you need to know this. And if you're taking an AP course, some colleges will take it, some colleges won't. You saw all these parents like, well, how do we find out? And what colleges do my kids want to go to? And then most of them were sophomores. I'm like, wow, like things are just getting real. So the idea of like not forcing, like you have to get a good grade, like it's so funny because I was kind of built the same way, like, yeah. Feel like you have to get like the honor roll, and I did, you know, but it was just like now I realize, and I sometimes tell my kids, like, do your best, but like if you get a B or a C or whatever, like as long as you try your hardest, I appreciate what you're doing. Obviously, I'm saying this because they get like A's and B's and all this other stuff, so people are like, okay, it's easy for you to say that, but you have the hindsight just like me, where it's like, yeah, grades are great, but like there's a lot more than just grades in life, right?
Exactly.
Love it. Talk about something that your kids have taught you, either about yourself or about life, that maybe you didn't know was there until you became a dad.
Every parent gets the why question probably too often. My son is at that age where everything is why. And I'll give you one example: sugar for breakfast. I'm a nutrition coach. We don't do a lot of sugar for breakfast. And my son is always like, well, why? And of course, I didn't have a great answer other than I then asked myself that question. And I said, you know what? Sugar for breakfast is way better than for dinner. Or if they have it at lunch, they're not going to brush their teeth for 12 hours. It's going to sit. And if they have it at dinner, they're not going to go to bed. So maybe breakfast is the best time. Plus, to be honest, I'm sending them off to school where they're going to go burn a bunch of energy. They're not going to do it in my house. So that is one of those things, that constant curiosity, these rules that we've had in place for so long. Why? And I love that. And now when my son asks me, I don't just ignore him. I ask myself the same question.
Love that. So also too, my dad listening to this, he would be so happy because they, you know, he's they still do, but like when they were super young, they called him Bebop, like for, you know, grandfather and stuff like that. And one time, my mom and my dad were watching our daughters while my wife and I went for an anniversary trip. And we're just talking in the morning, like, hey, how's it going? Like, oh yeah, Bebop gave us cupcakes for breakfast. And I was like, wait, what? And he kind of had the same logic, but not pronouncing it in the same way, in the like the educational way you did. But I'm like, now I'm listening to that, I'm like, oh man, there is some truth there. Yeah, because you're gonna go to bed if you have, let's just say, like in our family, we stopped having dessert except for the weekends. Like that's our thing. We don't do dessert like during the weekday, unless it's like someone's birthday or whatever, right? But just the idea of like, yeah, you're going to bed with like a cupcake in your belly, whereas like you said, go out to school, you have like, you know, recess, PE, you're running it off. So that's awesome. So it kind of bleeds into the next question. Besides, you know, having cupcakes for breakfast, which, not that you're recommending or I'm recommending, but having sugar in the morning to burn it off is a lot better than at night. What is a dad hack or piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening?
Self-care is family care. That is something that I preach a lot in my professional career, but also to friends who ask for that advice, because there's this badge of honor of you should be losing sleep and you should be tired and you should be giving your whole self. And all of those things are somewhat true and unavoidable. But if you are tired and you end up yelling at your kids, or you sacrifice so much of yourself that you don't have your own life anymore, what type of example are you setting? And so, if you're lucky enough to have a spouse, a partner, whoever raising with you, figure out how you're going to tag team. It is possible, no matter how many kids you have. And if you're doing it alone, you know, God bless you, that is difficult, but still find resources to support you. Find that time to go to the gym, find that time to see your friends, go out, whatever it is that makes you happy. The more you do that, the more you will be present in the moment. The more you will be a better parent when you are with your kids. You don't need to sacrifice everything just to be a good parent.
Great piece of advice right there. So, you know, a little bit about your background. You were in advertising, all that. Again, with the whole idea of like, it's never sleep and marketing or PR. Like, I've worked with a lot of people in different industries that I've been in. And it's always like, I email them something at like, you know, 10 o'clock and they respond back to me at 10:30. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I've always admired marketing and PR people for just like, yeah, you always like, especially now. You have a phone, you have access to email, so you should be glued to that, right? So you went from one job that is like kind of 24/7 to now with your own company that you kind of started with Cat, where it's Alta Coaching. That's another thing where it's like you are the company. You got to drive to it. So how did you go from one job where it's just 24/7 to another job that's 24/7 is even more 24/7? Like, how is that mindset with raising young kids, getting ready for this move, all this stuff, man?
It is. I like that you phrase it from it's 24/7 one way versus another. One of the things that I really did not enjoy about the corporate world, especially once I became a dad, was that rigid structure of, hey, you be in the office. Going in the office, period, was difficult for me because I felt like I was rushing my kids out the door and missing a lot of those small moments. And then also just being at a desk from 9 to 5, and I wasn't allowed to go to the gym. I wasn't allowed to take a break or do something creative or whatever it might be. And I realized that, a lot of jobs just have to function that way. That's okay. But now I have this different structure where I can do whatever I want with my day. I do find myself working 7 days a week. I do have lots of clients and I try to answer them as quickly as I can, but I can do it on my own time. So if my kid takes a nap on a Saturday and I feel compelled to get work done, I will. And I really like that flexibility. And then same goes for a Monday. If my kid is home sick, I don't have to panic anymore that I have a bunch of meetings. I can just move everything myself. So I really like that flexibility, but it is another beast running your own small business. And there's just that constant in the back of your head, you should be doing more, and here's more ideas. And so that has been a transition for me where I used to clock out at 5 p.m., so to speak. And now that really doesn't exist anymore. And so there is a bit of a learning curve too.
Thanks, man. So as you're learning to, this new phase in your career and what you're looking to do with your business, what do you hope, not even from like the healthy lifestyle and exercise and all that, but just as your kids look up to you, as they, as you develop your business and as they get older, they'll start seeing the things that you do. What do you hope that they will take away? And, we're talking about grades and school, and it's like, follow your passions. Do you kind of hope that you inspire them to find their passions? And yeah, maybe you start off in the corporate world or doing a job that like maybe you're not that excited about, but you know that there that's means to an end to get to where you can, be financially stable to start your business and go from there. What are some of the things that you hope your kids will be inspired from you doing your thing?
Yeah, I hope they learned that there's no failures, only lessons. And quitting my corporate job, I had gotten a bunch of promotions and worked at pretty reputable companies and raises. And so when I went to quit, a lot of people were like, "Are you crazy? What if, what are you afraid?" And my response is, what I'm afraid of is doing this job for 35 more years that I don't like. And I'd rather take a shot at starting my own business. And if it doesn't work out, that's not at all a failure. And that is what I want my kids to see is you can try it. You can learn a lot. If you don't do it for the rest of your life, that's okay. The other lesson that I would hope that I'm trying to teach myself as well is this balance of being able to run a business and still be a dad. A lot of famous CEOs are also famously bad parents. And I won't name names, but some of the most famous CEOs of all time are not great parents. And I'm not the one saying that, their kids are. And I think it is possible to have it all. Maybe I won't be the CEO of a $5 billion tech company. And that's, I understand that. Bill Gates came out one day and said, "You can't do both. I'm going to go be a dad now," essentially, which I admire. But I think our business is small enough. We don't take outside funding. We have a limited amount of clients. We have boundaries in place. It would be really amazing to do this for a very long time and provide a living for my family and have an impact for our clients and still be a present father. So my goal is to be able to do all of that.
Nice. Love that. So how, so kind of, you look at things kind of from a aerial view, like a bird's eye view, right? I feel like just talking right now and kind of when we were going back and forth through emails and phone calls before this podcast, I just feel like you got this, like, all right, let me look at a grand scheme of things, right? When we sometimes look like a challenge, right? Especially you probably get inundated with maybe, hey, new year, new you, all that other stuff. Like, let's try and work out and all that. And you and Kat are like just flooded with emails, like, hey, I want to, lose weight. We have that idea, especially of, lose like 10 pounds in 3 days by doing this X, Y, and Z, right? And there's just certain things like we want things right away and right now. But like, what are some of the ways that, especially dads, let's just say they're, dad or a parent, mom's listening to this, and they honestly don't maybe have the time to do a full workout, or they're, this is gonna be a two-part question, because it also deals with not only just working out, but also to what you put in your mouth, right? And what you make for your kids and all that. Two-part thing. What are one, what will you offer to people that feel like they can never just get that consistency of like that hump of 2 weeks, right? And maybe that's even an old wives' tale now. It's like you go to the gym for 3 weeks, like I thought this would be routine, and like and you kind of like, you know, peter off from like your workout. So two things. One, how do you fit some type of workout in? And then two, what is kind of like the first step in having a healthier lifestyle for consuming food and not having a war with food, but also in the sense of like embracing food, having some good, having some bad. Again, going back to your Instagram post, because again, I appreciate how honest you are in these about like, hey, I had this because I love this to eat, but also know that I'm going to have X, Y, and Z to like kind of counteract that, right? So yep. First part, go ahead and in the sense of like climbing that mountain of, you know, not just losing weight, but having a healthier lifestyle by exercising. What would you suggest to them?
The reason a lot of those resolutions don't stick, whether they happen on January 1st or people the week before summer, whatever it might be when people wake up and they have this epiphany of I'm going to get back in shape, is because people are taking on too much at once. And what we preach, what I believe works, and I've seen it time and time again, is small steps make a big difference. So pick one thing and try to do it really well. And what you will find is that everything is connected. So if you are not going to the gym right now and you sign up for the gym and you promise to go 3 to 4 times a week, that's a pretty big leap from where you were last week. So try it, sure. But if you can't do that, go one time or go for a daily walk every day. If you were sitting at your desk from 9 to 5, I promise you're not getting work done that entire time. Try to take a daily walk. And what you will see is when you do that daily walk, you'll be improving your sleep. You'll be improving your mood and your mental health. And that will give you more energy to then maybe make better decisions to go to the gym or maybe be more excited about eating healthier food because you're making other healthy choices. So don't try to do it all at once. Those small steps make a big difference. Just pick one thing, whether it's movement or nutrition, and start there. And then every couple of weeks, add a little bit more and add a little bit more. Nice. So then your second question, I think, was what could those steps be?
Yeah.
What could be the first step for everyone? I love walking, in particular, walking outside. I think it's really underrated. We have all grown up in this culture of you need to run to be healthy. You need to run to lose weight. And I like running. If you like running, you should do it. But if you don't, walking is totally fine. Getting on a spin bike is totally fine. Lifting weights is incredibly important for pretty much everybody. So these are all things that you can do. You don't have to be sweating and rolling on the floor, gasping for air, some kind of CrossFit type workout just to be fit. And then on the nutrition side, it's pretty personal, but there are some general rules. We see a lot of people don't eat enough protein. It really is important to prioritize protein every time you eat a meal. And so the word snack comes to mind as well. We think snack, we think bag of chips. I mean, think about the snacks we all give our kids, and sometimes that's just necessary, but a snack can also be real food, and it will make you feel more full. It will give you more energy. It will avoid those afternoon crashes. Prioritizing protein and other better foods as part of your snack, those are all really simple steps to have an apple and cheese lying around or whatever it might be, and you will feel the difference, which then continues to fuel this new you that you're building, exercising more, eating healthier, all of those types of things. So protein would be one example. Hydration is another. A lot of us do 1, 2, maybe 3 cups of coffee, and then it's lunchtime. Try to get water in there. Try to have water before your coffee. Again, these are small steps that you probably don't think matter, but trust us, Kat and I do this for a living. These really add up quickly. I'm happy to provide a list. We have some on our website as well of some of these best resources.
Nice. So when people, you know, protein and all that, I remember back in the day when I was in high school and college working at a grocery store, there was a guy in the meat department, awesome dude, but he just like, you know, his wife, he even said like his wife's the breadwinner. He just goes in the big, in the meat department, cuts up all the different stuff for people, but he'd spend most of his money on like meat. Like he brought like a Foreman grill and like make stuff like during his lunch break, and then like have vitamins and like supplements and all that other stuff. When we think protein, like chicken, you know, beef, all this other stuff. What are some of the things that like, again, I love the fact that you're like a snack doesn't have to be a bag of chips, right? So for you, what is a good protein that people can you know, take with them to work. You know, it's not that much of a commitment of buying or expenses. You know, I know that there are certain proteins or certain nuts or whatever the case may be that might be like, I'm paying how much for this like amount of like the small amount. What are some value, I guess, economy protein that is also tasty that you, that is like a go-to for you?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the money thing too, because we love talking about that. Eggs are so affordable. Eggs are one of the most nutrient dense things you can eat, and they're pretty low calorie for how much protein you're getting. The cholesterol thing is another discussion. Generally speaking, you don't need to worry about that either. You should be eating eggs or other similar protein sources.
So you go yolk and whites, right? I'm guessing, right?
I do personally, but whites are good if you want to keep it low calorie. So there's room for both of those. But the price thing is funny because it's about a year or two removed now, but eggs were going up in cost and everyone was like, eggs are so expensive. And listen, they went up. I understand that they went up in price, but it's still, even if you get the most fancy grass, you know, pasture raised, cage free, it's still like less than $1 an egg. So you're talking about a really high quality, low calorie, nutrient dense protein food that is $1. I don't know how much cheaper you can get other than a box of cereal, which is, again, this is kind of the whole problem, is we've been marketed to eat bagels and cereal and all these things that aren't really as healthy as the protein source. So I would say if you want to do the math on how much these things actually cost, they're not as expensive as you think. Yogurt is another example. Yes, it's perishable, but you can buy it in every corner store, every grocery store, put it in your office fridge, put it in your home fridge. Super easy thing to have on hand as a snack, breakfast, lunch, whatever.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're, you know, bringing up like $1 an egg when someone's holding like a $7 coffee that they just purchased. Like, I can't spend all those on eggs. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, in the Bay Area, we're at the $8 latte mark, I think, now, but still can get eggs for under $1 each. So yeah, it's a good bang for your buck.
All right. So let's just say, you know, from your experience and all that, again, maybe kind of tying this with fitness and money, right? We're talking about eggs and certain other things you can eat that's affordable, yogurt. Let's talk about the fitness aspect, right? People ask me like, Art, how do you start a podcast? I have a consulting, you know, podcast business. And like I said, first and foremost, don't buy expensive equipment just yet. Just do, you know, look around your house, see if you have a microphone, or if you have a laptop, it's got a decent microphone. Just start there first, right? And just build upon if you still want to do this. People working at home, or maybe just like, I'm going to work out at home, I'm not going to start a gym or whatever. Don't have weights. Obviously, during the pandemic, you know, a 50-pound weight costs like $300 for some reason, yep. Right? Cost, you know, supply and demand to get that. But people around the house maybe doing certain things. What are ways? And let's just talk about people that maybe struggle to like lift weights or do push-ups. What is something that if they want to kind of do something in the privacy of their own home, and just start building, you know, a little bit muscle that way, what would you suggest?
There are so many free resources out there now with YouTube and Instagram and everything. And so what I recommend is finding what you enjoy. The most predictable way to have a consistent, the most predictable way to have a successful fitness routine is to find something you enjoy that you will do consistently. So we have clients who do dance classes in their living room and they follow this YouTube person and they dance for 20, 30 minutes. That's fantastic. You're moving, you're having fun. Great. Do that every week. If you have light dumbbells around, that's a good investment, more than 2 pounds, probably more like 15, 20, 25, depending on how much weight you can lift, or a kettlebell is a good investment. And if not, resistance bands, you can get those on Amazon for less than $15. And you can do pretty much every movement under the sun with a resistance bands. And there are, again, countless resources for what to do. Yeah. So I recommend all of those sources. The other thing I'll say is, some kind of fitness equipment, whether it's at a gym that you belong to or in your house, should be table stakes in your life. It should just be like paying the heating bill, like subscribing to Netflix, whatever it is that like you would never cut in a million years, no matter how little money you make. You have to put fitness there too. Yeah. Do you have to go to the really fancy gym that's $300 a month? No, of course not. But there's so many gyms for $20 a month. There's dumbbells that are used on Craigslist for $20. You can afford it. You have to invest in that just a little bit.
So good. Yeah, because sometimes you look at medical bills, because like, you know, my wife and I were kind of that sandwich generation. We're taking care of our kids. We're also taking care of our moms. Unfortunately, both passed away a few years back. But like we have our dads here, and then like we're taking them to different, you know, doctor's appointments, and you see like the bills coming in, and then especially bills for our kids if they're getting sick, like all that stuff. So even if you have insurance, you're like, I gotta pay what now? So like, just the idea of, yeah, you're like, I don't want to invest in this. Yeah, but do you really want to pay a copay or deductible, right? So there is that advantage. Of, again, I think with you guys, you look at things, like I said, I know I'm going back, but the bird's eye view where like you're looking at all of the different maybe hurdles that get in people's ways, and you're like, let me debunk this in the nicest way possible. Just so like you guys don't come off as like, you know, just like yelling to people like, get out, like, you know, we're good, this is what you do. It's like you come through approach, like you said, the dance class or, you know, biking or whatever the case may be. Like, I love that idea. So yeah, just the idea of like, think about the last time you paid a medical copay or you know you're doing this or that, like, huh, maybe if I just bought that exercise bike that's, you know, middle of the road or like low end, just to start doing something, right?
Yep, exactly. I don't love the scare tactics, but the reality is the math is there. If you're on a medication for the rest of your life, it gets quite expensive. It's going to be a lot cheaper to just take care of your health now.
Nice. Well said. So yeah, sometimes you see like in schools, I know that you're changing states and all that, but like you see different schools just cut out maybe gym or certain activities, especially on a global front with like, you know, colleges are knocking off some of the programs just so they can afford or put, you know, the money, you know, the finances to focus on like the money maker, so to speak. And I get that from a business model. How are you and your wife kind of showing your kids exercise and all that is important? I know they're 5 and 3 and they're going to be running around dancing. You know, my kids at that age were having dance parties before they went to bed, you know, just kind of get them, you know, the energy out. But how are you guys, like, I'm guessing you already have this mapped out in your head, but like, as they get older, what are some of the ways that not just you, but other like parents can get involved with their kids that you're creating that model of taking care of yourself, like getting out and doing so? Like for us, it's hikes, but what would you suggest to people and what do you model with your kids?
Love hiking. That's amazing, by the way. The best way to teach your kids anything, in my opinion, is to model the behavior. I think most parents know that. And that is one of the many reasons why you should prioritize your own health as a parent, because you want your kids to see that you are prioritizing your own health, even with all of the other stuff going on. I will admit it's been very hard to work out this week while packing boxes and doing all the school transfers. And
but that's
all
a workout
of that
though
stuff.
Too, right? Like moving boxes, yeah, you're kind of like just doing squats and stuff, like, or maybe I'm just telling myself that when I was moving.
Yeah, it's a bit of a workout, but then it's also sitting on the phone with insurance for an hour trying to transfer auto insurance from one state to another. And so that really eats into your productivity time. But yes, the point is you want to model that behavior. You want to find time to move, to eat healthy, however you can do that. And of course, it's a balance. If you want to go out to dinner with your kids for pizza, you want to have cake, whatever, that's all part of life. I get that. We support that too. But I think specifically, how do I do it? I believe that it's never too young to show them. And my daughter is not even 3. And if you say do yoga, she will do a little yoga pose. It's really cute. Awesome. And I think that's amazing, right? That they already just see it, even if they don't quite know the long-term effects of what they're modeling, they know what that means. And they know that their parents do it and that it's part of our day. And so I think that's incredible. And you should always start earlier than you think they might be picking that up, because we all know kids are sponges. And as soon as you drop that curse word, they start repeating it and saying, go for, you know, the good of the exercises that you do. Yeah. And for us, it's not just about going to the gym, although I have brought my kids there because I know the owner and that's been fun. And they will see me work out at home sometimes and they'll pretend to pick up dumbbells with me. But there's also, to your point, hiking. That is a fantastic family activity. You're outside, you're spending time together, you're not spending any money really either. So it's really affordable. There's a lot of ways to all do something together that is centered around exercise, centered around fitness, whatever it might be, that is just a general family activity. So that's a really good thing to instill. Also, maybe your kids like to ride their bikes. Maybe your kid goes in a stroller. Maybe it's something in between. But anytime you are moving, anytime you're doing an activity together, that is showing them that this is one way to really spend your life together, which I love.
Nice. It's funny. If I used to, when we were at the Y, during the pandemic, we stopped kind of going to the Y just because like it was shut down, all that. And I still work out from home now, but my kids and my wife go back there. But when we play like basketball there, I'm like, I used to play this all the time. And then you realize like you had muscles that you totally forgot about.
Yeah.
And then the same thing was like pickleball. We were that like that family like got a pickleball set from Walmart. We just went to the, and are we playing by like 100%? No, we're just kind of doing our own rules and having fun. But like the next day we stopped like the after the first day, I was like, oh man, I'm like 44, but I'm like, I didn't know I had this muscle still. It's just it's funny, right? So what I'm saying is like don't get deterred by if like you there's gonna be that pain. I mean, there's good pain and bad pain. I'm like, the old adage back, no pain, no gain. But like go see a doctor if you keep on having constant pain. But just the idea of like don't freak out if you just like haven't used like your leg muscles and all of a sudden after playing basketball or doing something, you're like, what the heck just happened? I'm never doing this again, right? Like there's gonna be like growing pains or fitness pains, right?
Exactly. It's that idea of being uncomfortable, and it applies to anything in life. Again, we're moving. We keep talking about that. If you have that on your bingo card at home, you definitely have that square now that Andrew's moving this month. But moving is, it's very uncomfortable. We're saying goodbye to an area we've lived for a long time and the teachers and everything that we know here. But we are going to gain a lot of new experiences from that. And it's the same if you want to teach yourself a foreign language, you need to start practicing, and you're going to mess up and you're going to say the wrong thing and people are going to make fun of you. And that's okay, because that's how you learn. And it's the same with exercise and nutrition too. But you should see me. I'm always taking on new challenges and putting it on my Instagram. One of my life goals is the human flag, which if you don't know what that looks like, pretend that you put both hands on a flagpole and then you just stick straight out perpendicular to the flagpole. It's incredibly difficult. I'm not sure I'll ever get there, but I do have videos on my Instagram of me trying to do it at a gym.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing because I get up for a quarter of a second and then fall on my face. But that is how you learn. And if I get it one day, it's going to be that much sweeter that I documented it and looked really silly. And so, yes, whether you're trying to play basketball again for the first time in 15 years or whatever it might be, obviously warm up, go slow, all of that stuff, take care of yourself, don't get hurt. But yeah, that level of uncomfort is really important and is a sign of you growing. So I think that's a really good thing to feel.
Now, yeah, the human flag thing is kind of like making its way on social media, but back like 92, 93 ish. When I moved from Illinois to New Hampshire, I went to like from like this huge school to like the small school, just one grade. And I remember one dude that stuck out, Mike. He was like a very strong dude. And now he loves like climbing rocks, like on his, Facebook and Instagram. Like he's all about like, just mount, like climbing and doing all this stuff. It's really cool. But I remember him like on a flagpole or like a light post, like this was like seventh grade, but like he still had the strength, like, oh, look at the wind. And the teacher like, get down from there. But it was just like, when you said that, wow. I was like, that I feel like with your passion and like, the way you're looking at things, you'll be up there, man. So I'm rooting for you. That's awesome.
It's memorable. See, you remember. That's why I need to do it. It's
nice. And so we're going to talk a little bit more with Kat about, Alta coaching and all that other different things and different, fitness aspects and what they can get out of it with her, just because I wanted you're a dad, we can kind of like commiserate about, parenting, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that good stuff, but also too from a dad's perspective and what you've seen with your clients. So I really appreciate that. And at the end, I'll definitely tell people where they can, follow you on Instagram and also your website. But let's kind of finish off with the fatherhood quick five. Again, they're kind of young, but like it doesn't have to be a movie. Maybe it's a show, but favorite family movie or show? Do you guys have one?
Right now it's Super Mario Brothers, which I love because I grew up playing video games. My son is already old enough to play that. And my daughter's into it enough at 3-ish, but we love it. It's a big hit and the soundtrack is a big hit. And so it's on repeat quite often in our house.
Nice. Favorite family song or genre of music you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
I love this question because we do some of the kids' music, the Cocomelons, whatever, but we have from day one been introducing them to classic rock, whatever it might be, anything that's appropriate, of course, not like modern hip hop. When my wife was pregnant with my son, who was our first child, we saw the Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen movie, and he was going nuts, kicking and everything while she was pregnant. And then we started playing that music for him, and he loves Queen to this day. And I just think it's so cool that he's been exposed to that from day one. And so we continue to introduce him to lots of different artists that we grew up listening to, and he can do the same.
Andrew,
so Queen would be the answer.
One of the best responses from that question of the Father of Quick Five. Well done, man. I love that. Starting him young, like really super young. I love it. Nice.
Yep.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
definitely somewhere new. I like a little bit of element of discomfort, like I mentioned. I love laying on a beach and having a cocktail, but after a couple of days, I'm kind of need some excitement. So I would say for us, foreign country, maybe Europe somewhere. Expose the kids to different cultures, different language, different traditions. We do maybe want to live in Europe one day as a family. And so think this will come to fruition. We just have to decide where, because there's lots of choices.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And so this can be a multi-answer question, because I feel like for different workouts, it can be different ones. I'm a sneakerhead, love sneakers, obviously Jordans, you know, Nikes, Reeboks, all that stuff, Adidas, New Balance. But for you, is there one like encompassing workout sneaker that you, that's your go-to, or do you have different ones for different things, for like running or lifting weights or what have you?
I'm going to answer this in two parts. First of all, this is the most dad response of all time. My new sneaker obsession is the Nike Gore-Tex line. Okay. Yeah. They've started doing Gore-Tex on Jordans and Air Maxes, and I love it because I take the dog out every morning and it's always wet here in the Bay Area. And I'm like, wow, I can wear some fresh J's and also be waterproof. Amazing. So Nike's really
good. Did you get the fours recently then?
I haven't yet, but I'm just waiting until we move and I'm going to spend a lot more probably.
Nice.
In terms of workout shoe, I won't get too technical here. It is pretty unique to you and your foot pronation and what activities you're doing, but it actually is the one time that I wear Reebok. I wear a Reebok cross training shoe, the Nano, and I have for a very long time, and I really like them. So Reebok, if you want to send me a pair, please do. But I support those a lot. I think they're a really good all-around shoe, depending on what you're doing.
Awesome. Yeah, the JJ Watt, what I'm doing on the elliptical or different things in my house, we don't really wear sneakers in our house or shoes, but when I'm working out, like the JJ Watt 1 and 2 are awesome. So something about the sole, I think, is awesome. All right, kind of going back right before the last one, though. Favorite retro sneaker of all time? Is it the 4, like, or like you mentioned Air Max? Like, what is your favorite go-to like retro sneaker?
I have a lot of Huaraches, which is kind of random, but I think it's a different answer than you hear a lot. So I wear them in a lot of different colors, and I find it's a good everyday shoe because you can, you know, dress it up, dress it down, as they say. So you'll find me in Huaraches a lot if you see me around town.
Well done, Andrew. Love that. Yeah. Love that answer. Good response right there. And then lastly, top 3 words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Fun, present, which is probably not a word they'd use, but I hope they do. And inspiring.
Awesome. Great 3 words right there. People, make sure you follow Andrew on Instagram over at Andrew Hayes Life. And then also check out his website, altaforlife.com. You're going to, if you're looking to get into like shape or just start something up and just kind of have a change and be there for your kids and, you know, be a role model for your kids and like living a healthier lifestyle, make sure you check out altaforlife.com. Andrew, good luck with the move. I wish you and your family continued success. Thanks for sponsoring The Art of Fatherhood. Really love your take on fatherhood and the idea of like, you want to be the example and role model for them. So again, thank you very much for your time, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad we didn't have to talk about the Jets today. Maybe next year.
Awesome. Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net, and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.